Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Our story this morning calls to mind a basic historical backdrop for the Gospels, which in turn reminds us of basic principles of God's character. God's Son was sent into the world to gather the lost tribes of Israel, who had from the beginning been chosen to be one with God. God had set aside for himself, quote, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, unquote. With these words, Peter describes the people of the new covenant who live in Christ, but they inevitably recall the people Israel, the children of Jacob, and their 12 tribes, whose story is the subject matter of the Hebrew Bible. God is faithful. Quote, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Unquote. God is, in his person, the principle of all unity in the universe. Hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord thy God is one. He hovered over the chaos, and out of it wrought an order of stunning precision, the harmony of all things that come together in a beautiful earth and self-sustaining life world is a continual image of unity, whose source and center is himself. Unity's other face, simplicity, is a divine attribute. Multiplicity, with its defining idea of division and redivision, is an attribute of the evil one, or the deuce, for his character is the counterfeit, the deceiver. The Lord our God is unity. The prince of this world is two-faced. In God's kindness, patience, mercy, and love, he cannot abide the loss of his peculiar people. He has made a covenant with them. So he has sent his son to gather them, appointing 12 disciples to be governors over them. Matthew 19:28, Luke 22:30. How does a tribe or people become lost? The historical record refers to a conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel by the Neo-Assyrian Empire. The tribes were driven out of the land around 723 BC. The southern kingdom, comprising the tribes of Benjamin and Judah, remained intact. To the Jews of the first century, these are royal houses of David, of Saul and of David, respectively. Certainly, dispersion fosters neither cultural coherence nor social unity, but we cannot say that deportation must doom them as a faithful people. Doom ultimately comes of faithlessness. Neither keeping God's commandments, nor conceiving of themselves as a people peculiar to God. The inevitable sequelae to faithlessness is intermarriage, which accelerates the disintegration of culture and social unity until, and perhaps in two generations, a people become lost to God forever. The first generation, they are half this tribe or that tribe. In the next generation, they're a quarter, and then they are nothing. This morning's gospel lesson is about all these things. Jesus takes the disciples out of their Judean life world, beyond a horizon where everything is turned upside down by raging, by wind and raging of the water, Luke 8:24, to the point where they cry aloud, Master, Master, we are perishing. Truly, they are brought to the edge and beyond it. Turning away from them, the Master, revealing his divine character, rebukes the sea and the winds, quote, and they ceased, and there was a calm, unquote. Then turning back to them, he utters four flinty words. Where is your faith. The scene demonstrates in sublime terms the unity of the elements under God's governance as he yet again wrings order out of unruly chaos. But what of the disunity and discord of the disciples? That challenge is up to them. It is up to their freedom to choose and to exercise self-control. They must be bold and faithful, banding together in the face of trial and tribulation. This was the challenge set before the 10 tribes at the time of their dispersion. Chaos, danger, nearly perishing. With his disciples, Jesus has sailed to the east, to God's horizon, where the first century historian Flavius Josephus claimed the lost tribes continue to dwell, quote, an immense multitude and not estimated in numbers, unquote, from his Antiquities. St. Luke's Gospel tells us that they arrive to the land of the Gadarenes. This has been a controversial crux in Luke's Gospel. The third century philosopher Porphyry of Tyre commented, there are no cemeteries on the shores of Lake Gennesaret. There are no tombs you could live in along the shore. There are no cliffs from which swine could leap into the sea. Anyway, what might swine be doing in any village of the Jewish Levant? Set before us plainly is a mystery. The Son of God journeying into a lost land through a disruption of the elements, we might say through the Bermuda Triangle, and then meeting with a lost people, the children of the tribe of Gad. When the disciples beheld the scene before them, they must have recalled Jesus' rebuke, resonating now more deeply. Where is your faith? For set before them is a tableau of lost faith, people eating unclean food, swine, people living in the trance of demonic possession, people dwelling among the dead, becoming ritually unclean. The story concludes with them rejecting God, who had visited them from on high, with manifestly divine powers. They asked Jesus to depart. The word swine occurs in the sacred scriptures almost not at all. One time each in Leviticus and Deuteronomy for the purpose of prohibiting it. Once in Proverbs to describe destruction of the damned. And in the Synoptic Gospels in describing the lost world of Gad. It does appear in one other place, the book of Isaiah, which will have a special resonance this morning. Quote, I have stretched out my hand all day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger and continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things in their vessels. Where is your faith indeed? The first person Jesus encounters breathes an atmosphere of death dwelling among tombs. A major food source for his society is swine. He is possessed by so many demons that their name is Legion. Consider the heaviness. In the first century, this word is used exclusively as a military term, 5,000 men. In all of Scripture, the word is used in only two places. In the narrative of the Gadarene demoniac, and Jesus' declaration that his Father could send 12 legions, 60,000, of angels to protect him. Mark 26:53. In either case, Legion expresses an overwhelming force, an inescapable and crushing power. The possessed Gadarene, the most extreme case of possession found anywhere in the Bible, is to show the disciples what a complete and permanent divorce from God looks like, and what divinely appointed governors of a lost tribe would be up against. Demons run rampant through a field of victory. All signs of light and life have been extinguished. This place more resembles hell, which only God could harrow, than a variant of Judea or even Samaria. This is a place of spiritual dying and deadness. All connection with God and godly life has been lost. The scene forms the general backdrop for the New Testament. 10 among the 12 tribes of Israel have been lost, and the tribes of Benjamin and Judah are in the process of becoming lost, quite literally possessed by legions, and on the verge of being physically dismantled stone by stone. This is the scene set right around the time the New Testament is being composed. Military invasion is a special kind of possession. After all, the locale of the 12 tribes of Israel is the eastern shore of the Mediterranean, too rich, too strategically important to be ignored by an imperial power. The Jews cannot hope to retain control of the land. Their only recourse is spiritual intactness. And this can only be done through the intactness of family or religious community, such as the Essenes. Chiefly, a society disappears through intermarriage. You know, people from the mainland United States visit the island of Hawaii with their Hawaiian language phrase books, keen to hear traditional slack key guitar. But the Hawaiians have mostly vanished. Demographically, those with at least 50% Hawaiian ancestry constitute 0.5% of the present island population. Yes, the language is taught to some extent in the schools, but in practice, no one can speak it. Even elderly people from multi-generational families do not know it at all in general. As for music, the young people listen to hip-hop and reggae. And no one actually lives the old ways. Where did these people go? Are they up in the mountains, dwelling with the Menahune? You will not find them, for they were lost through intermarriage and acculturation. In the Hebrew Bible, the twin challenges of intermarriage and alienation from God are writ large in the Book of Kings with the name Jezebel, and taken head on in the Book of Ezra as the people Israel returned to Zion following the Babylonian captivity with their foreign wives in tow. For marrying outside the faith calls for a certain broad-mindedness. New idols must be worshipped. New traditions must be lived. Old ways must vanish. We read in Deuteronomy, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and grandchildren. Deuteronomy 4:9. Consider how great is the challenge of rearing children in the faith when a home is divided concerning God. For set before the children is at least one example, someone they love, of apostasy. More often than not, No faithful example is set before them, with parents claiming to model, quote, tolerance, unquote. You see, we're so tolerant that we will not throw our vote behind any party. What they are modeling, of course, is rejection of and alienation from God. God blesses us for our devotion to Him. He blesses us one by one. And there is no mirth in heaven like that reserved for families and generations who have placed God at the center of their lives. No families on earth shine like these families. Is this not plain to see by anyone who has eyes? Jesus brought his disciples into the lost land of Gad. He wanted them to see what enslavement to the world looks like. He wanted them to experience an entire culture possessed. The disciples would not have to journey very far to see it in our own country and culture today. Yet we retain the possibility of devotion to God, of spiritual intactness, one by one, family by family. We retain the legal prerogative to follow Him and never to be parted from Him. But should the political climate continue on its present trajectory, we could lose these precious and uniquely life-giving prerogatives. This much we are certain of. The Lord has promised His followers a vocation of tribulation, John 16:33. We can always count on heavy weather coming in on a horizon. We must remain ever faithful, for the Lord is not asleep. He is watchful. If we are true, He will bless us. But if we should panic and give up the ship, we will surely hear His flinty rebuke, "Where is your faith?" Our life is each other, those who love and serve God and who strive to keep His commandments. The world has nothing to offer of lasting value beyond being, quote, accepted by the possessed, the spiritual dying, and the dead. Let us call to mind and cherish the good and decent world we knew not so very long ago. Let us remember the shining families and the Sundays when everything stopped. For that vanished world sought closeness to God, keeping His commandments and honoring Him in its public places. Not far from where I grew up, a town chained its streets on Sundays, keeping the outside world at bay. A wonderful peacefulness and quiet was enjoyed by everyone. People sat on benches on the boardwalk, reading or reflecting. For in that world and across the United States, the age of decency had not yet vanished. In their world, pornography was illegal. Sexual exploitation of children was not tolerated. And peddling drugs would land you in prison. No one in that world could imagine a candidate for the presidency promising that he will not tolerate devout religious communities because they are a safe haven for hate speech, quote unquote. Let us teach our children and our grandchildren, lest they fall into the now common misbelief that this shining world never existed. More important, let us model this world for them, confident in our faith, and banding together in the face of trial and tribulation, Let our children see and hear us reply to our detractors. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is never too late. What did we read this morning in our epistle lesson? Awake from the dead, and Christ will give you light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.